Welcome to another edition of Cloud Unfiltered. Today we have Carla and Penny from Container Solutions. Did I get that right this time? Yeah, so I've been getting that wrong every time. So it's a great thing. And actually, this is the second test. The first one was just a test of this show. And because it's SRE, we had some site reliability problems with the first recording. And this is a good reason why you need to have these practices. So without further ado, I'm going to kick it off to Carla and Penny to just tell us a little bit about what Container Solutions does, how it came about, and give us the lowdown there.
Thank you, Michael. My name is Penny Resnick. I'm in charge of marketing Container Solutions, also co-founder. I'm originally an engineer and was a CTO for five years. And so we started in early days of cloud native, before the cloud native term existed and before CNCF was a thing. Those days we were trying to help people to understand why Docker is amazing and why it will rule the world. And we always get all kind of weird responses, like it doesn't run on Windows and it's very early stage, so no one wanted to do it. So basically what we are doing today is not really Docker anymore, but Kubernetes and cloud native transformations and helping people to move to the cloud in the way that is more holistic and consistent, and not just technology, but also organizational structure and the culture. And SRE is definitely a very significant part of that.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because it's still an area that's being defined, you know, so a lot of people don't understand what the SRE piece is, which is site reliability engineering. And really, you know, there are a lot of aspects of that. So, traditionally, I think that people would just say, okay, let's just bring up some kind of monitoring and make sure the site's up, down, you know, make sure the apps are up, down. And that was pretty much it. And now we're getting into this world of DevOps and SecOps and, SecDevOps and whatever ops you want to make. And, now what we're trying to do is kind of automate a lot of those processes and verify that things are getting deployed right, verify that things are checked before they're deployed, you know, verify that the right security is in place, you know, all these kinds of things that kind of fall into this realm of SRE. So, I mean, is there something that you guys really, you know, when we talk SRE, what is it that you guys think of when you think of SRE?
I mean, we have done this recording before, and the cloud ate the recording. So it's an excellent example of problems that will happen, not may happen, but definitely will happen. And you need to be ready for that. And the question really is not if the problems will happen and if you can fix them, but mostly the difference is between being reactive, proactive, or preventive. Do you want to respond to failure and just restart the server and do something else that typical or traditional operations people would do? Or you want to try to proactively monitor and try to eventually prevent the failure before it happens? But it's also important to make sure that as long as your systems are growing and the world is becoming more and more complex and the clouds are becoming more and more complex, that development teams and operations teams are consistently investing more and more efforts to build more stable and reliable systems. Not reliable in terms of redundancy and backups, but really in proactive monitoring, observability, knowing what's going on around. And really, it's all about prevention, because once the failure happens, it's too expensive to be cut.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that it's interesting, you know, when we talked a little bit about this in the previous recording, but, the culture has to change too, though, you know, because the culture is, we might become from a traditional network server culture, and we really have to change that more into this kind of DevOps, DevSecOps, all those other kinds of things, because, you know, things are crossing, they're kind of cross-pollinating right now. So we can't just kind of keep it in our silos. We have to figure out how to best interact in a way that allows us to be more fluent for the developers, but also allows people to kind of inject that life cycle that allows for monitoring and checking of the application and failure and all that other kind of stuff. And that's a big change in culture. I mean, how do you deal with that within these corporations? Because I think that's a bigger problem.
I think the DevOps world, the term, is here for over a decade. And it's a good direction. It's good to break silos and put people in the same room, you know, to fix problems together. But that's not enough, because expertise is important. People still need to do their job. The operations people and development people, they have different goals. Innovation or stability. Right? Innovation or customer success or customer satisfaction. And they are contradicting, right? And this kind of thing, it's better to divide those teams, but they need to make sure that they're both helping each other to improve. That's why SRE is different from traditional operations. It provides SLOs and error budgets to keep the development teams accountable and consistently improve the quality of their code, but still deliver innovation as they go. Because innovation is the lifeblood of a business. But if you cannot deliver, if your system is down, then you are losing money. So both are very important, and it's always about continuous improvement, right? And this is the core principle of SRE.
Yeah.
Really appreciate a lot of the insight too. And I was going to ask, just because I've been listening in the background, and one of the reasons that we really wanted to talk to you guys today was you guys have a conference coming up, and I think we'd be remiss not to to mention that, because that was, you know, what Mike is actually a participant at the conference, which will be great, and he'll probably talk a little bit about that. But I was curious, you know, given everything you've said about the importance of an SRE and really the reason why we've seen such a rise in the concept of SRE, I would love to hear about, you know, the conference and maybe why you decided this warranted its own event, and maybe more specifically what you guys hope to accomplish. Because I know, you know, looking at the website, and we'll make sure to put that in the show notes, right, you've got specific tracks that you're trying to accomplish and really convey, and you've got panelists that are going to be coming to talk about those things, including Mike. So I'm curious to hear.
WTF, Andrew, WTF, you know?
Yeah, WTF SRE. Right. What is WTF on WTF SRE, right? What can you tell us about the conference?
It's a perfect timing for Carla to introduce herself.
There you go. Hello, Carla.
Oh, hello. Yes, I'm here.
Please introduce yourself so our listeners don't suddenly wonder why a female is talking and not three men.
Well, no, I can talk actually, because I'm Carla, and I'm the head of events at Container Solutions, and I've been leading this project, that conference, WTF is SRE. So I've seen this baby grow since the beginning, and now we're almost there, because the 20th of May is coming up soon. But it's been an interesting ride, and yes. At the beginning, when we were discussing the concept together with Cisco as well, we were wondering which are the main areas that we want to focus on and we want to discuss at the conference. And in the end, we decided to have three tracks. So one track is around observability, which we know is kind of the core of SRE, or the monitoring, and make sure that everything is being running. And then we're gonna focus also on security and DevSecOps, because even though sometimes it's a bit of a taboo to mention the security, it's a hot conversation with the teams. We consider that it's something very important to cover and educate our community. And the last one is multi-cloud, because it's very easy to consider operations in one cloud provider, but then, you know, the times are changing, and now it's very for companies, it's very rare to use only one cloud provider, and it's actually quite important to give more perspective on a multi-cloud environment and what does that mean, actually, if you need to consider security in a multi-cloud environment or again, the observability and all the other aspects. So this is actually one of the main reasons why we chose the multi-cloud. And I know that, Michael, you're going to talk about that at the conference. So we're very excited.
You know, I changed my mind. I think I'm going to talk about something else. No. No, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, no, I think that it's really important. And I think a lot of the same constructs still yield true. You know, you still need observability. You still need, you know, some way to troubleshoot. You still need some way to look at and create policy. You know, you need a lot of the same things, but you need a way to kind of bring it together and visualize this stuff, a way to understand what's going on. You know, and there's a lot of technology, but technology is just one aspect of it, you know, and as Pini was talking, I actually thought more like maybe there should be a fourth track about like, you know, what does it mean operationally and what does it mean, you know, how do you do these processes, you know, because actually that's actually a pretty cool, you know, maybe the next conference we'll have a fourth track, right? Yeah, so that would be a pretty interesting thing, but I think you could include that in a lot of the tech. So I think it's, you know, okay, well, how do you look at multi-cloud? Where do you get your observability from? You know, do you use a service mesh? You know, what kind of policies do you have? How do you deploy to multi-cloud and do it in a consistent way? So there's a lot of aspects that, you know, really come into multi-cloud that you know, I'm excited to talk about. So I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation. And that's just what I like. I like to have conversations where you know, obviously we're a little bit, you know, we're over video right now, but I do like, you know, to start a conversation with the community and hopefully, you know, let it resonate a little bit. So I'm excited. I think it's gonna be great. I'm so excited to be part of this.
And for those people joining in who have never done a WTF conference, which I know there's a series of them, what can you tell us about the conference that makes it different? You know, I know, for example, I'm super excited about the panel because that's a great opportunity to get in front of industry experts and kind of meet them. So I'm curious to hear what makes this conference better, you know, than some of the other ones that people have been attending over the last year virtually.
Andrew, free is always better.
Well, free, yeah. So let's be clear, guys. It is free. The only price you have to pay is waking up early if you're in America. But that is a very, very small price to pay. And I understand that there will be excellent music and yoga to entice you to wake up early.
That's at the end. You're not supposed to give people that information.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler. Anyway, I'm stealing all of Carla's thunder because that's what I do. But anyway, Carla, please tell us about the conference itself and what makes it unique and exciting.
Well, yes, I mean that the panel that you mentioned, it's very it's connected to what Michael was saying about creating conversations and all the points that we were touching together with Pini as well. Because we need to have this conversation also about creating a sort of culture around the DevSecOps and ops in general, about also establishing psychological safety in your team in order to have these conversations. Because, you know, sometimes we are talking about the job of people that if something happens and it's 3 a.m. in the morning and your systems are going down, then we don't want to blame the person. We want to be safe and be open to discuss and improve next time. So that's why it's important to have these conversations. And the panel discussion is gonna be around this as well, around the people behind SRE. Because we're talking about human beings here that are keeping everything going. And they're working, you know, they have shifted 24/7 because, you know, an app from Zalando or whatever, it's always there and needs to run. So this is an important conversation that we're going to cover, as well as the trade-offs between, you know, keeping all your systems reliable and secure, but also leave the time to innovate, because it's from innovation that your company also progress. And actually, Pini is going to be in the panel as well.
Awesome. I think what's important is that in addition to lots of really, really great experts, people who live and breathe SRE operations and tooling and everything every day and building amazing biggest systems in the world, it's also fun, right? We always try to keep it not as dry as others. And the other spoilers with yoga and music and other stuff is just an extra addition to keep people engaged and you really learn better when you like the conversations and when you're engaged.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, Mike and I have done a lot of conferences, and you know, a lot of them are vendor driven, vendor owned. And not to say that the WTF one doesn't have its it's vendor backed, right? There's a lot of, even Cisco, a lot of big partners helping make this conference happen. But what's nice about these conferences, right, is that you kind of remove the fluff, you remove a lot of the show lights and the fireworks, et cetera, and you just focus on the actual technical implementation, and you get that much closer to the people who are actually responsible for these things. And so, you know, I've made this joke before, but a lot of the people I follow on Twitter, a lot of the people I've connected with on LinkedIn have been at these conferences, because I'm not meeting some random PM or TME of no insult to myself or Mike, right, that run a product team. You're actually meeting the engineers. You're meeting people who are responsible.
Moving away from product, just to let you know.
Yeah, Mike, you're actually moving higher up the stack. So you're actually less and less relevant. You need to trade in your suit and t-shirt top for an actual suit, because you're in the office of the CTO.
But you did mention something that kind of gets me mad, and that's that Twitter banned me. And I just want to talk about that, because they mentioned it last time and it didn't get recorded. But I don't know if you're out there, Twitter, and you I don't know why I'm banned, but unban me, please. Thank you. I think, what we were talking about is very interesting, because I get excited about technology. I'm a techie. I love new technology, and I actually get bored when there's not something new. So I always am looking for that new technology and how to do something and how to improve it. So I think that's why these, and I think a lot of people in this field are like me, because they're excited about the technology. They're excited about where things are going. And I think that's what's cool about this conference, is it brings that excitement. You know, except for me, I'm monotone and boring. Everything else is going to be really exciting. So, I think that's why it really drew me in, talking to Carlo and Pini about this. I think it was just, that's the thing. It's not just like a boring old, like, boardroom type thing. You can tell by the name of the conference, it's going to be something that's fun, and it's going to bring a lot of innovation. I think that's what's really cool.
And it's absolutely, again, there are no product pitches, and the company, the sponsors don't get speaking slots or anything like that. So really the best speakers and best content we could find. And
wait, I'm the best you could find. We're in trouble then. I take it all back.
It's a good point. I'm also speaking, also not considering myself the best, and innovation, and it's great. And in this specific case, SRE is living in a world that is extremely innovative and changing every day, and yet it's all about stability. And this is a very interesting challenge, and we will try to answer this sort of reconcile this weird dilemma between those two things.
Yeah, what would be really cool is if people come out with a more formalized idea of what SRE is all about, so that it contains all these bits and pieces, and and kind of make up in their own mind what it is to them. So that would be really cool.
I really hope we can, our speakers will be able to at least partially uncover the story of SRE. There are, of course, multiple books written by Google and Google SRE people and who invented SRE or formalized it. And also others, but really there's quite little understanding these days what SRE means, because in most enterprises what we see is this kind of, sysadmin was renamed into DevOps and then later renamed into SRE, and it doesn't mean that the team is actually doing SRE. And I think that's what we really want to explain, that it's not just about name of a job that you currently have, but it's a different way of doing things.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it last time that, you know, people have a hard enough time trying to figure out what, you know, cloud native means and getting to the cloud that way. So, you know, add on to it SRE and all this other, you know, all these other terms, it could be a bit overwhelming. So that's why, you know, things like these conferences really help out.
But also, while we were putting together the program and speaking with all the speakers, something that emerged was the fact that even the term SRE is kind of new still, but it has evolved. And a lot of them are asking themselves, okay, what does it mean to be SRE in 2021, which is kind of different of when it was established. So it's important to refresh also the concept and understand what's happening, because also in different companies are facing this in different ways. And that's where it's so important to have conferences like this to open the conversation and exchange notes, I guess. Oh, you're doing this, I'm doing that. How does it work for you?
And that's kind of an important point there, that, you know, it's not going to be the same for every company. Every company operates differently. You're going to take the best aspects of what you learn and what kind of applies to you. And not only that, you're going to share amongst maybe people that you meet, you know, what maybe somebody else is doing it and some other way. And you're going to learn and kind of adapt what works for you, because every company is so, so different. I mean, it's just, it's insane. So, yeah, I think that's a very good point.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Google, who formalized the SRE, they had it for certain purposes, and their products are amazingly big and complex, and with billions of users, and no one else is operating on such scale, or very few operate on such scale. So their rigor and their investment in SRE is not on the same level as a typical enterprise or mid-sized business.
Yeah, you could say probably the closest other one would probably be Netflix, with things like Chaos Monkey and all this other kind of stuff that they're doing to make sure that things are staying up and verify, you know, so they're a big one. You know, so there's definitely others out there. But, you know, that's the difference, is they have billions of dollars to put into this kind of stuff, and they get the best of breed, you know, equipment, and they have access to a lot of resources, where, you know, a lot of people aren't, you know, don't have the advantage of that. And so, you know, things like this allow them to get that knowledge, though. So,
absolutely. It's those companies like Netflix or Google or Facebook or whoever else, they're getting to the scale before anyone else, and they really need to build their own tooling. They are those who invent, who basically build a path for everyone else.
Yeah.
That's why they have to build their own languages. They have to build their own tools. They have to build Borg, which became Kubernetes. But others cannot afford that, and shouldn't afford that. It's actually a bad idea to try to replicate exactly the same setup as Google. There are differences. The Kubernetes is exactly the point of that. It's taking all the learnings that Google had in 15 years of running their internal systems, and repackaging it in the way that is reasonably consumable by a normal company.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, all of this, though, is new to a lot of people. And, you know, so, you know, it's this is why I'm excited. I'm getting very excited about it. I just want to do it already. I want to be there. I want to be talking to people. Andrew, what do you think?
I'm excited. I was telling them before in the pre-call that I blocked off my calendar, which apparently at 6 a.m. there's not a lot for me to block off. But I did it so that I could attend the conference as much as possible. I think before we wrap up, you know, I did want to point out that we'll put the links in the show notes. There's a hashtag that's WTF is SRE that you guys can start following a little bit. And like I said before, I think a lot of these personalities
on Twitter.
Mike won't be able to use it, but everybody else should use it. You know, a lot of these people have great personalities on Twitter. They're great people to follow and kind of get the latest and the greatest. I did notice looking at the website that there is a theme. And yesterday when we were recording this episode before, I did not know that there was a theme. I was quite obtuse to this. So I want to give you guys a second to kind of call out just a little bit more information about the conference, you know, when it starts, how people register, I know you guys have a charity as well.
I was going to mention that. We forgot totally about the charity, which is probably one of the more important things.
Absolutely.
I haven't forgotten. Don't worry. I'm here to remind you. Well, yeah, we're going to share all the details, but as mentioned, the conference is free, so you just need to go to on the website, put your details in there, and register, and we're going to send you all the information. And yes, we have a theme that is firefighters, and actually today I've received my prop. I've got a firefighter hat. You can't see that, but you're going to see it on the day at the conference because I'm going to wear it.
We're sold enough. Let it be known that Carla will be in costume with a firefighter's hat on.
Where's my firefighter hat? That's what I want to know. You know, I thought we're all firefighters here.
I'm confused. When does Panay's Dalmatian costume come in? Because I'm assuming he will be the Dalmatian. I don't know if that's a true stereotype in Europe, but in America, every fire station has a Dalmatian dog.
Ouch, we didn't think about that. We don't have a dog, sorry. I'm coming clean here. I have to admit, we didn't think about a dog.
I'm sure there will be plenty of dogs with speakers, and there's always somebody with a dog or kids or something.
But that's part of the community vibe that we try to establish, because with virtual events, it's so hard to create this sense of community. And that's why we embrace a theme that makes sense. In this case, you know, firefight your systems when something happens. And all of our speakers usually embrace the theme. They dress up with us, which is great. I hope you're ready, Mike. but in this case, we were also investigating on how we can help. And that's why we found this charity of firefighters, all female. It's a female crew. They are based in South Africa, so they've been battling those horrible fires lately, which is terrible. But we have this charity in place. We have a lot of people already contributed, which is amazing. So we're going to help them and support them with their cause. And it's all on the website again. Feel free to visit that and make a donation if you like.
Absolutely. I think that's an amazing charity. I think that's, you know, I don't know how you found them, but that sounds really cool.
I think next year you need to double your goal, because you guys, I think, blew through it a couple of days ago, and you're already well on your way to the moon with additional donations. So that's great that you guys are able to help out a local cause and tie it all back together into this common theme of firefighting. I think it's a very cool idea, and I am looking forward to see how you guys implement it.
Yeah, and as I said last time, I think it's amazing when we can do stuff we love and also support these charities and kind of help the community. And I said, and you know, the thing I've always found interesting about this area is I love to teach people, and I love to help people that want help and want to learn, you know, because coming up in the industry, there wasn't a lot of people that you know, did this when I was first coming up. Now it makes me sound old, right, Andrew? He always calls me old. You know, so I think that, you know, I love to help people. I love to show them whatever I know, whatever that may be. And you know, so I think that's great.
That's the beauty of this community. I'm not a techie. So I'm an event manager, but over the years working with the community a lot, I've also learned something. I'm not an expert, far from it.
But I think still, you're probably more techie than you give on. That's what I'm going to say. I think you probably are, but we'll see.
But that's because, you know, that people like you and all the other members of the community, they are so willing to help and make you understand and make concepts that are quite complicated accessible for everybody. So it's very inspiring.
You know, that's the key. You can't just have somebody explaining technical specs. You got to say, okay, what's interesting? Why do we have this? What is the purpose? You know, because, you know, and to leave off with this thought, I think we have to wrap up pretty soon, is that all of this technology, all of this process came into being because of a need. Not because somebody said, hey, this will be really cool. It's because people found gaps in the way that they currently did things and said, this can be improved. And that's when you have a successful product, when you have a successful technology. It's when you look at what you have and say, hey, this could be much better, and I think I'm the one that can do it, you know? And that's where you see most of the innovation.
And I think to just add a bit of this contribution and innovation, this whole ecosystem is mostly open source, and it's driven by commercial companies, and this, there's strong alignment of commercial interests and just generally contributing and helping others. And this makes this ecosystem so collaborative, so creative, so engaged. We're really trying to be part of it. And we're not leading it, we're just part of a bigger thing. And we know that Cisco contributing a lot to GNCF and Linux Foundation and lots of other foundations and to open source. This is really a great place to be, being part of this community.
Yeah, it makes it very exciting. So Andrew, closing thoughts.
No, I think we hit them. You know, thank you guys for coming on the show. I think there's a common theme here that we're all very excited about the community events and really, you know, learning from the experts in the field, you know, getting through that fluff, you know, I'll to stay on theme, dodging the smoke and getting directly to the fire. I think that is going to be the exciting thing that this conference really brings to people. So if you've never done one of these conferences before, they come highly recommended from Mike and I. Mike will be there presenting. And like I said before, we'll include all the links and information in the show notes. So if you're interested in joining, by the time this gets posted, you'll have you know, about a week to get yourself signed up and ready to go. But thank you guys for coming on the show. It was, as always, a pleasure to talk to you guys. And I hope that you'll join us again the next time around. There's another WTF conference when we come up with yet another acronym.
Yes.
So, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, guys. So